Yes, lift up your heads, and behold, the King of Glory has come. He comes for me, and he comes for you. The King of Kings is drawing nearer to us. Why, we even get to feast on his very body and his very blood, his glory. Now our glory, given us in our baptism and by the Holy Spirit, this certainly directs us on and on into our glorious goal, eternity, peace, and joy forever and ever. To him we offer our praise. Amen. But yes, lift up your heads and your hearts, my dear Christian friends, for our light has truly come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Even in the darkness overcoming this earth, the light and life of our dear Lord Jesus Christ shines ever so brightly that all nations will come to him. Him, our prophet, priest, and king, him who reigns supreme. So yes, today we celebrate Epiphany of our Lord. The use of this word epiphany significantly means that our Lord, the very God-man, Jesus Christ, has come into the world, and he now, we know his physical presence was here on this earth. That God himself left his heavenly throne to place himself here in our midst. And as an example of the world beholding his glorious arrival among us, our God's word today shows us these three wise men traveling great distance to witness themselves this divine entrance of God made flesh into our lives. Those eastern men followed a great light, a brightly shining star, to find where the holy infant lay, and their venture was exclusively so that they could worship him. Oh, how so many would search and search for him who would give them peace. How even you and I would do almost anything to have our prayers answered, wouldn't we? How we too would travel such long distances just for a glimpse of him who died to set us free. How his death and resurrection had paid the precious cost for our deliverance from sin, death, and the devil. All for a chance to see him face to face. What would you do? How would you search for Jesus? Oh, that he would be our judge and judge us with his righteousness. How the poor will be vindicated by his justice. We seek him who will deliver his dear children from any need, and he will crush all persecution. You know, might we sing together, along with the psalmist today, as we read a moment ago, may our Lord be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound. That's so pretty. For in our search for him who we need not travel very far, no. For here he is, here in this holy house, we find him who dispenses out his prosperity and righteousness for all who enter these doors here, to these doors here that lead to the regal bride of Christ. Here our journey finds an oasis amidst the trials and tribulations and temptations of our enemies. Here, together, we gather up and delight in him who did not forsake us on account of our appalling sin, but by his mighty and wondrous hands, he gladly and he willingly dispenses his forgiveness and comfort for troubled souls like ours. But here today, concealed within the verses of today's gospel message, are themes of our human ignorance and God's sweet divine revelation, normal expectations and yet hidden realities. For except that we have learned from God's divine word, you and I, we can't actually comprehend nor believe in God's way of working through his Christ, the Son of David, the very Son of God. Hence all the more our hasty search for that peace which surpasses all human understanding. Our quest for him, the Christ, our Savior. It's like we're sitting here saying, come on, Lord! When are you going to come and give us some of your redeeming powers? When, Lord, are you going to serve the likes of people like me? But also in our gospel, we learn about an earthly king, Herod, who contrasts the divine with suspiciousness. A corrupt ruler serving a full plate of fear, deceit, and murder among his subjects, a typical. With the help of his friends in high places, the Romans, he squashed all challengers. An otherwise money-rich fool, politically gifted, and just clever enough to get his own way. How different he was than the baby born meek and mild. How protected and isolated from harm was this earthly king, living grandly in a palace while the King of Kings lived in squalor. And he was basically unknown except for a couple of shepherds. And how this plot plays out day after day in our time, huh? Those who think they have the power and want to rule your hearts and minds. How even among our family and friends are those who deem themselves wealthy, far above our dirt, grime, and foulness. And we all but forget about this, you know, that Jesus guy. We lay waste the teachings of our youth to the spoils of mature gainliness, and we cast aside willingly the inward workings of the Holy Spirit. Again, why bother? Why believe something you can't even see? That's perhaps what mattered most to that fool Herod. He wanted to see this new king set to dethrone him. He wanted to see him face to face so he could use all of his wicked resources to murder him, the infant Son of God. Maybe that's what matters most to some of us, huh? Hoping upon hope, there really isn't a God who can see us as we delight in the sinful ways and profane life that we live. Yet we continue to search for him. But what are we going to do when we find him? Will we stand before the throne of God and continue to make our demands? Or will we, like the men from the east, will we bring him gifts of praise and honor for such a king who grants us poor, miserable sinners, he grants us salvation. Will we fall down and worship him? will we give two hoots to celebrate in the epiphany of our Lord, or even his baptism, or even his horrible death in it, and his death on account of us, displaying how much he really loves you and I? Will we honor and praise him as is due such a Prince of Peace? Yes, we will. Yes. Yes, we will rejoice in his glory and righteousness and peace forever and ever. For we have, okay? We have, like Simeon from last week, we have seen his glory. We have seen his righteousness. We have seen our salvation, which was prepared in the presence of all people. We have seen his light. We have already experienced his epiphany. We hold fast to that which makes us holy and a delight in the eyes of our God. Oh, do we cherish that? For you see, God reveals all his saving ways in Jesus Christ. He shows us, you know, me and you, these measly, mortal, and unlikely recipients of his grace. This wonderful gift from God, as Scripture from so long ago had promised. All of God's promises have come unto you. You, his royal priesthood. You, his holy nation. Our Lord's covenant to be with us now is quite apparent. The Lord came to Adam and Eve, didn't he? The Lord came to Joshua, Moses, and to King David. And the Lord has come unto us. The Lord reigns supreme. I want you to hear how this promise of God flowed upon David as it flows mightily and generously within each of us. I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me, says the Lord. That's from 2 Samuel chapter 7, Old Testament. So yes, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Amen. Now may that peace, which does surpass all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise.